Thank you, Danny. Peter Owens, BCTF staff. Just back to the Fraser Institute for a moment. You asked, probably facetiously, why would anyone want to destroy public education? Well, every year the Fraser Institute and the Vancouver province go through this exercise where they rank all the schools in the province based on grade 12 exams. Peter Pelly at the Fraser Institute is the person responsible for that, and he travels around the province and does interviews explaining how important and useful this is so parents can choose their schools. Last year, in a rare moment of frankness with the New Westminster paper, he was asked if he supported public education. He said no. He said the community is not responsible for clothing or feeding children, so why should the community have to pay to educate them? As I said, a very rare moment of frankness, but it is good to have on the record. But I would just like to hear from the panel some of their thoughts on this exercise that the province and the Fraser Institute go through every year, where every school in the province is ranked from top to bottom with a weird little formula that gets the private schools up at the top.
Well, I think, you know, it's a disaster. The results are completely misused, taken out of context. They pit schools against each other. It's very destructive, and I think that is, you know, the intent behind it, to undermine public support for public education.
Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you. Doug Rodley, I'm a school trustee in Calhoun Valley and a former school district worker. In our own district, in a time of extreme constraint financially, we've witnessed our management spend over $1 million this year on the collection of data for the accountability contract. At the same time, they closed libraries and threatened to close small schools in our smallest and most economically hard-hit communities. I would suggest that this form of testing, the legitimacy of the results is secondary to the motivation, and that it will in the end be used as a justification for the cuts that we've made. So I would suggest that the only alternative we have is to focus on the real deficit that is being created in our schools in terms of service to our students. And the only way to do that will be to organize stakeholders. And that, toward that end, I'll give CAPE, Community Alliance for Public Education, a boost. Can the panel comment at all on that local organization and the role it plays in countering the you know, standardized testing message?
Well, I'm not going to comment directly, but I'm going to take a broader question that was within what you had to say. And that's what I think there's an issue here that hasn't been raised and needs to be addressed as well. And that's that as the amount of money that's provided to school districts shrinks, the amount of leverage that local school boards have is incredibly diminished. And as a former school trustee, I think that school boards are getting a bad rap, frankly, about their inability to address the significant issues in public education when the range of options they have available to them have been so significantly limited. And I do think that there is a serious problem in terms of who controls the schools. And personally, I believe, I hope most people believe, it should be the communities in which they're located. And what's happening, I think, is that school boards themselves, my personal view, their voice has been considerably muted because they're very concerned about their own positions as elected school trustees and whether that position will continue.
Thank you.
Could I make, we're constantly warned that if we submit a needs budget and really respond to the needs of our community, we will be replaced. But are we not replaced already if that is what we are doing? Are we?
There, we don't need to turn to a panelist for that one. Okay, over to you.
Thank you. My name is John Moss, and I'm with the Charter for Public Education. I think it's a very much more fundamental issue we have to be discussing, and that's the protection of democracy, particularly participatory democracy. And from my point of view, public education is what is the foundation of our democracy. And of course, a lot of much better educated and informed people than I have said that for centuries. And unless we make sure that public education continues and is strengthened, I think Michael referenced some research into how many people are actually participating in the democratic process, and whether that, and to me, that's what should be measured. So I also, as PD Owen, I want to react to us constantly referring to the Fraser Institute as an organization which is doing anything. From my point of view, we need to take something like the Charter for Public Education and issue a report card on whether we're meeting the fundamental principles of public education and issue some statements on that. And that's exactly what the Charter for Public Education Network is intending to do, is to assess whether our public education system is giving our citizens the tools they will need to actually participate in a discussion around whether we have a good and just and worthwhile society. So I think we have to move the whole focus back a little and say, are we going to lose democracy? Because the next step is totalitarian government. And we have to be very, very cautious that we do not lose democracy along the way.
Thank you, John.
You raise a crucial point, and I'll go back to the media in terms of the need to engage with media. I dealt with the commercial media for years, and it was one of the more frustrating experiences of my life, but unfortunately, I think they still do have a massive impact on what gets discussed. They frame what's important. They decide what's on the agenda. So that I think we do need to look at the Fraser Institute report and the power that has, and then have a counter strategy. So saying, okay, we're putting out a charter of education, how are we going to do that? Not just in the commercial media, but in community newspapers, which I think we underutilize. I look back at my own career and the number of times where I could have sent something to a community newspaper, often dying for copy, and instead focused on the province and the Sun, that it was a mistake to do that. So I think that that's something that we can do collectively in communities, is we can try and deal with the province and the Sun. You know, it's frustrating, but I think sometimes necessary, but also participate in our local papers and participate in alternative media to try and get a debate going about democracy and get a discussion going that's not just preaching to the converted, but to a larger community.
And remember how easy email makes this. Most reporters and editors have their email address right at the end of what they write. And in the 6 years I was in Fresno, I built a relationship at a high level with the editorial board editor to the point where I no longer was ever upset with what they said about education. I didn't write for publication all the time. I just wrote to him or to the reporters and said what I thought was good or bad about what they wrote. And many of these people have very fine motivations, but nobody's talking to them.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Well, I just really want to echo what John was saying, because but I think it was under the previous government that they drafted some performance standards around social responsibility, and I think it was an attempt to try to get democracy on the agenda of what's, you know, what counts, but it's hard to measure how well we're doing. You know, I think social responsibility and democracy have to be infused throughout the curriculum, and that we need to take a hard look at what we're doing. And that this may not be a popular thing to say, but when I look at my daughter's report card, she's in grade 3, and it's an anecdotal report card, but there's a lot of emphasis on her work habits. And, you know, is she attentive, and does she do the work in the allotted time? And I think, you know, it, to me, it's an image of a student who's quite passive and compliant. If we want to, you know, raise a little hell out there, we might need to, you know, have a riskier classroom where we actually, you know, what if we put on the report card, you know, challenges the teacher's perspective. thank you. Over to you.
Sure. My name is Steve Beasley, and I'm with the Canadian Federation of Students. I'm a student at Malas Main University College in Nanaimo. And I want to make a couple of comments in reaction to some of these that have come up today. First is in terms of the sort of the issue of standardized testing, and what I wanted to point out was that it's not just about standardized testing of students, it's also about standardized testing of our institutions. And the government of British Columbia has moved from assessing institutions on the basis of quality to the basis of quantity in the implementation of key performance indicators, key performance measures that will be tied to funding, that will be tied to the survival of programs through funding under the student loan program. And really, this is a movement away from having an education system that is responsive to the needs of the community, responsive to the needs of students, but rather responsive to the needs of some very self-interested participants in our economy, in terms of making our education system a forum for job training and for specialization that really, you know, gets away from everything that education is. There are a lot of students that I've represented, that I've worked with at Mount Spina, that have gone through the system that maybe didn't graduate and get really high-paying jobs, maybe didn't graduate and get the best marks in the world, but really benefited from their experience in post-secondary education, grew personally and became more active members of our community. And this government doesn't care about those people, and I think that that's really important to remember. In addition, I think that people have to remember this is also a discussion about economics, that regardless of whatever test, you know, you could have put in front of myself as a student in high school, I would have taken it because I understood that was my key to access to post-secondary education. What I couldn't take was 155% fee increases at Mount Spina University College that have happened in just 2 years. And the people that did very well on those standardized tests were the people that got to go home after school and not have to work a part-time job on their evenings and weekends to support their family's income. And I think that this is a discussion about economics, and that this government is, as I think is obvious by now, attacking the support structures that we have in our community for average British Columbians.
Thank you. I want to thank our panelists, and didn't they make a great show here? We could have had Jerry. Also want to thank the participants who made it to the mics, and for those who sat in the seats and participated in the debate, because as our panelists spoke, it touched many different buttons. Remember our new grad requirements that are going to improve achievement? Believe me, as a high school counselor, I can tell you it's going to push more students to drop out of our school system when those grade 10 exams hit us. And we also, in this discussion here today, focused on what we value in public education. Yes, it's an economic debate about how much money is allocated to public education, but behind that is what value do we put on public education. And it's those values that we have to talk about and gel around.